Blessings to you all this afternoon. It's a great privilege to be gathered the way we are here today and just with a heart of seeking after God. I trust we are all at that place where our hearts are open and seeking God. So why don't we all rise to our feet and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the clear word of God that you've given us, for the understanding that you put in our hearts as we read and try to understand and we find our way in our walk with you. We thank you for how you've changed our lives. Even for us here this morning, Lord, we thank you for how you've cleansed us and how you've filled us with your Spirit and you help us to walk day by day in truth and holiness. And we ask, Lord, that even now as we look at the subject, some of the confusion in some of these subjects, we ask for clear understanding to come. Help me to communicate and share in a clear way that can be understood by everyone. We ask, Lord, that you would illuminate your word and thank you for your presence and will and take these things way beyond what I share even this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The confusion of the charismatic gifts. The subject, I'm going to say, has been on my heart for quite a long time, and it's more in the latter years that I've really, dug into some of these things a good bit more. And I recall some 20-some years ago being on a workplace, working with various ones. And I remember sharing the gospel and being able to share the word. And I specifically recall a young man that after working side by side with him for quite some time, he ended up getting converted. And on the heels of that, you know, there's various influences there on the workplace. And what I sensed from this young man was a real sincerity. He had a very sincere heart. And yet in the middle of all this, there's influences going on throughout the workplace on some of these subjects. And I remember him telling me, he said, Mark, he said, I want all that God has for me. I want all that God has for me. Isn't that all what we want? Right? Well, as time moved on and progressed, he ended up getting into what I'm going to say, associating with other people, and I'm going to say getting very, very confused. And today, he's at a place where you and I look at, and he has found himself in a place where things really aren't working out for him. And it's out of that confusion that this subject was born. It's out of that heart. It's out of some of those questions when I hear people saying, I want all that God has for me. And that's a wonderful thing. Okay, I trust I'm at that place, right? And all of us here. With all that, on this subject of some of the gifts of the Spirit, on some of the things that God gives to His church, there's a bit of confusion. And it's down those lines that we want to talk about this morning. And I'm going to use this phrase here different times, but there's this little phrase I'm going to just put out here. Why do people from charismatic churches practice what is perceived to be biblical gifts that we don't? Why is that? Now let me just read that again. Why do people from charismatic/Pentecostal churches practice what is perceived to be, when we look at the Bible, biblical gifts that we don't? Why is that? And it's because of that confusion that this young man that I shared with you about lost his way. I'm just going to say he lost his way very much. He lost his way. And so the purpose of the message here this morning, or this afternoon, why are there gifts that the Bible teaches about, but we don't seem to exercise them today? We hear many of these gifts exercised in churches that we don't feel comfortable with. In an endeavor to be and become all that God has, there are many that have become deceived and have walked away from solid biblical teaching, seeking after some of these teachings we don't see at our local church, and have fallen into deception. That's why the subject. So turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, and we'll just read a couple of verses here, a number of verses as a foundation for the subject. And I've used the term charismatic gifts just simply because of the connotation that some of these things give and have. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, I'd like to just notate here, as we look at these scriptures here, it's clear that these are gifts that God gives severally as he will to the people, or to us as his people. He gives these to us, and they're gifts. I'd also like to read in Mark 16. If you want to turn there with me, Mark chapter 16. I'd like to read a couple verses there, because I'd like to just briefly touch on those. Mark chapter 16, because they go close. I'd like to just mention here that these, what's described here in Mark 16 aren't gifts, but it specifically says that these things are going to follow them that believe. They're not gifts, but they're going to follow them that believe. It says in Mark 16 and verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them. I want to just take note of that. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, I'll maybe just begin by giving a bit of a conclusion, an overview of the conclusion. We give a bit of an overview of that. I'm going to suggest that the Pentecostal / charismatic movement has given us, the church, and I say us, you know what I mean. I'm going to say the Church of Jesus Christ, a wrong mystical view of the gifts. The charismatic church, and if I could just reemphasize that, they have given us a wrong view of what those gifts are and what they look like. And by the way, I know this is afternoon, and so all your tummies are full. And if people fall asleep while I'm preaching, then you'll find out what happens. Okay, that was just a good warning. All right. So, I'd like to suggest that the charismatic Pentecostal movement have given us a view and an understanding of the gifts and of these scriptures. And so when we think and when we hear some of these terms, our minds go to a certain place. And we have a set of lenses on our faces that aren't accurate. And we want to talk about that this morning or this afternoon. We want to look at that. They've given us a set of lenses and they've given us an understanding of what some of these scriptures are. And I'd like to just suggest that they're not all accurate. I would like to, for us to just take a look at scripture and look at these things in a very honest way and endeavor to understand what God really has for us today. And there's a couple of things I'd like to mention. One is, as we go through here, I don't profess to really understand everything fully. And maybe after today and tomorrow, I'm going to be speaking 2 days here. Tomorrow will be on specifically on the gift of tongues. And if there's thoughts that as you look at this subject and after you've heard the teaching and things that maybe can be helpful, feel free to come in and share those with me. I don't stand here with a feeling like I have a full understanding, but we like to just look at the Word of God, see what Scripture says, and endeavor to give us a clear understanding here these couple days. There are, turn with me, to the book of 1 Corinthians. I'd like to read one verse there. 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. And we're going to read in verse 8. This is a very interesting scripture as we look at this. It says, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. That word means it's going to stop. It says, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I like to put out this question or this thought that there are three specific gifts here that were given, that were readily exercised. And according to this scripture here that we're looking, there is a time when they're going to stop. And the question could readily be given, has that already happened? Or is that something that's going to happen in the future where that'll stop? And that's something that I'm not here to make a judgment on that. But as we go through here today and tomorrow, consider that. There are three specific gifts here given. And for all three of these, it says that they will cease. There's a time coming when it'll cease. And my question is, has that already stopped? Or is that still something that's coming in the future? Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So, just looking at a number of the specific, there's about 15 different ones here that we want to quickly go through. Gifts, there's 9 gifts that were given here. that God has endowed gifts to, and then there's 5 that it says that these things are going to follow them that believe. And we want to just very quickly touch on those. In 1 Corinthians there, it specifically talks about the gift of healing, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, a discerning of spirits, faith, working of miracles. And then the ones in Mark where he talks about casting out devils, talks about they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick. So those are the ones we want to just look at as we go through here. Now, I mentioned earlier about that wrong view. I mentioned about the wrong view, those lenses that they have given us. Here a couple of years ago, I was talking with a good brother of mine in the local community, and I asked him, and we were talking about the gift of tongues. And I asked him a question about tongues, about the gift of tongues. And his ready answer, he had his ready answer. And then I asked a question, so show me in the scriptures exactly where it says what you're trying to say there. Help me understand that. And after some further discussion, it became obvious that what he was trying to say, there wasn't a clear biblical definition for what he was saying. It's an understanding that he had perceived that he got somewhere, right? He received that view somewhere. And maybe it's a little bit like, for those of you who are at all familiar with pornography and how some of those things work, for people that get into pornography, what that does to a person is unbelievable. It gives them a view and an image of a physical relationship that is way off. And then when people get married, what they experience and all that, it's way, way different than what it was put out to be. That's what we're talking about. It's the same concept. Many times when we look at these scriptures and we look at these gifts and we talk about these things, I'd like to suggest what we have is a warped view. I want to just look at what Scripture talks about this morning. We'd like to look at, first of all, the purpose of these spiritual gifts. The purpose is, there's a couple purposes. One of the gifts, one of the purposes that are clearly given is, it is to convince the unbelievers. There's some of these gifts that are given that when they're used, they're very clearly in situations when there's evangelism going on and a sharing of the gospel, and some of these gifts are used primarily, I'm going to say, in places where the gospel is penetrating the lost, like miracles. Sometimes you look at, you know, why aren't there miracles happening here locally? Well, that gift is very much for us today, according to Scripture. But those gifts are primarily out there for evangelism and out on the front lines, and not necessarily a lot of that happening in the local church. There might be some, but that's not the primary purpose of it. And so the purpose of these gifts, some is to reach the lost, and then there are some that are more geared toward local brotherhood. There's some that are more geared toward the local brotherhood. So some more out there, and some more in here, and there's some that are used for both. Yeah, some of these gifts are largely given to outreach and to help convince people of the truth, and there's some that are primarily for the edification of the local body, and you'll primarily see them locally. I'd like to also look at, I have another heading here that says, what is a gift and how do we get it? What is a gift? Now, back home, you know, there's all kinds of gifts in our local brotherhood. And one of our brothers, you could ask anyone in church what's his gift, and they would all say, oh, he's an evangelist. Why do they say that? Anyone? That's his gift. It's something that's just sort of a part of him. You know, it's something that just sort of bubbles up out of him. It's just there. And by the way, there's some here this morning that are evangelists, and others that are, you know, have the gift of teaching, and there's a whole bunch of gifts. But if someone has a gift, it's something that's just sort of a part of who he is. It's something that God has given to people, and as a person has that, it's like this burden, and this burden just sort of pushes him. You know, there's just sort of a, you know, burden and a burning within. And that expresses itself in so many, many different ways. And so when we look at these gifts, that's how they come. If a person has a gift, it'll express itself in that same way. It's something that's just sort of a burden. It's something of just who they are, and it's, you know, it's something that just, you know, it comes out of them. That's the nature of a gift. That's the nature of God coming and endowing His gifts on the local brotherhood, on His children. He comes and gives them in that way. Now, can a person have a gift and he doesn't know it? Yeah, sure. Sometimes people have gifts. They carry burdens, they do things, and they don't even know what it is. Well, you don't have to know what your gift is, but if you have a gift, those are things that just burn and they come out of you as a result of that. Now, I would like to very quickly look at these three gifts that are specifically mentioned as they're going to cease at some point. There's three. I want to very quickly look at those. There's three. It says, whether there be prophecies, they shall cease. What is prophecy? What is prophecy? If you go throughout Scripture and look at prophecy, there's two veins of definition where prophecy flows out of. The one is specifically where there's a prophecy made about and there's a foretelling of something in the future. There's a foretelling of something in the future. And I like to suggest that that is very possibly what it's talking about. The future events thing. I like to suggest that that's very possibly what it's talking about when it says that that is going to stop. It's going to cease. It's that future foretelling, like the prophets of old. There's another vein where that prophecy is expressing itself, and that is by men under the divine influence of God being able to speak the mind and will of God and preaching the word and sharing the gospel. And there's a prophetic voice. There's a sharing of the word of God. Sometimes it's behind this pulpit, and others, sometimes it's not even an ordained man, but there's a very prophetic voice where people under the divine influence of God are sharing the word of God. That's also prophecy. Now, in Acts chapter 11, in verse 27, it talks about Agabus. And this is an example of the things that I would like to suggest that maybe this is one of the things that we're not seeing today. And when people try to do these things, they're getting themselves into trouble. Acts chapter 11, verse 27, it says these words. And in these days came the prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now, he signified by the word of God, and he said, there's a great dearth that's going to be coming. And he was foretelling the future. He was saying, there's a dearth that's going to be coming. Now, are you hear people doing that sometimes these days? You hear it happening occasionally. And when those things happen on occasion, you know, Scripture says that if a prophet speaks and doesn't come to pass, he's a false prophet. And if you look at this type of thing happening today, and it's, you know, and these things are coming to pass, there's prophecies made about the future, and those things come to pass, where are they? Where is it? Tell me about it. Right? I'm asking the question. Is it possible? Where does this fall into that one of those things that's going to cease? Now, the specific of the prophesying, where we all, even this morning, Brother Dale and Brother Paul, they were up here and they were prophesying the Word of God. They were teaching. They were admonishing us. And they were preaching the Word of God. And you, maybe it's up here behind the pulpit, or maybe it's out there in the the parking lot. You're sharing the gospel with someone. You know, it's opening your mouth and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's some people that have a gift of that. Now, we should all do some of that, right? And others simply have a gift. Okay. Now, my question is, when will that cease, the foretelling of the future, or has it already stopped? That's a question. Okay. Here's a second one. The second one is the gift of tongues. Gift of tongues or languages. And I'm not going to speak much about this today. I'm going to push it into tomorrow. But I would like to ask the question, where do we see biblical tongues like you saw in the book of Acts today? There are things that you hear a little bit here and there. But where are the people that have a gift of that and those things are just happening? Where is that? We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Here's a third one. The word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. Now, I remember being in a in a setting one time. And, you know, there's various men around. And there's one brother that said, I have a word of knowledge here. He said, there's someone in here that's living in sin. And God is telling me to just reveal that. And that was his word of knowledge. And when we think of the word of knowledge, and if you talk about in the charismatic / Pentecostal realm, that's how the word of knowledge is viewed and practiced, and that's how they view that scripture, the word of knowledge, just what I described there. Now, I like to just suggest that isn't the biblical word of knowledge. The biblical word of knowledge was very specific. Here, they're putting this general thing out, and it sounds to be very spiritual, and I'm going to say mystical, and it sounds very whatever, but I'm going to just raise a question. Is that what you just described? Is that it? Is that the word of knowledge? Let me just give you an example of what happened in the early church. And again, here's the third one. Here's the third one that we're looking at. The word of knowledge that it says it's going to cease. You know, it's going to stop sometime. Has it stopped? Or will it stop? Or when will it stop? In Acts chapter 5, in verse 1, it says this. It says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? How did Peter know all that? I like to suggest that there was a very clear word of knowledge that came from God to Peter. And there's understanding given to Peter very specifically. And he challenged it. And you know the rest of the story. My question is, where is that happening today? Who among all of God's people has that kind of gift and is regularly doing those types of things? Where there's a gift from God and he has that type of ability. See, a gift is something that God gives and is to be exercised. Where is it? That's my question. And so, I guess what I'm trying to say here is, here's an example of the real thing. And there's this picture painted. And many of us, when we hear some of those things, we sit here asking ourselves a question, why aren't these things happening in our midst? Why aren't they? Why aren't they happening in our midst? And we have a lack of understanding of knowing what it really is. And with all that, there's a level of confusion that comes and sometimes unwinds itself in a way that's very sad. Now, we'd like to move on to some of the other scriptures here in 1 Corinthians 12 and just take a good, honest look at what all that is. Our first heading we want to look at here is the gift of healing. The gift of healing. And as we go down through here, there's some of these that are going to be I'm going to be pointing out some of the things that don't work itself out the way they should, and endeavor to put out God's view of what God is looking for and expecting. And I'm just going to say, I'm going to say that there are some of these gifts that are clearly here, that do get exercised here and there, But I'm going to say there's a need. I'm just going to say that some of us, I'm going to just make some confessions here. There's some of us here who maybe we aren't where we ought to be, and because we're not serious in our journey, some of these things aren't expressing themselves as clearly as what they ought. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying. I'm just going to suggest that very possibly there's some lacks in our own lives. And just because there are some things that they're doing out there that aren't right, it doesn't justify us one bit for us not to be experiencing the things that God has for us. God help us, right? And so we look at faith. Or healing. I'm sorry, the gift of healing. Scripture is very clear about the gift of healing. And when we look at what the gift of healing is, if someone has a gift of healing, it's someone who just sort of burns within. And if there's a sick person, or maybe there's, you know, it could even be out on the street, or it could be in church, or, you know, whatever it might be, if someone is sick, it's like, well, hey, let's gather together, let's be praying. And they lay hands on him, and many times there's a healing. I'm just going to say that in many churches, this whole idea of laying hands on the sick and anointing with oil and healing is way too far away. Are you with me on that? God help us. Whether it's in the local body or whether it's out there, wherever it might be, God wants us to be doing that. God wants to show Himself strong. You know, many times, you know, back home in the local brotherhood, there's brothers and sisters, they come, they want to be anointed, and there's anointings and laying on of hands and healing. And James 5 very clearly tells us how to do that in the local church. I remember there's a situation here a couple of years ago where there's some brothers, you know, they received a phone call of a friend, and he was about an hour away in the hospital. Late at night. And these brothers ran up to the hospital. And there he was. His head was swollen. He had been a perfectly healthy man, you know, a couple of days earlier. But there was discussions about doing exploratory surgery. Things were way out of hand. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And these brothers, they went over. They laid hands on him. And they prayed. And a day later, he was walking out of the hospital and going home. Right? See, healing is for us today. But, you know, I remember very well, you know, your dad. I remember him when he had his cancer. And I don't know if you were along. You were, you know, fairly young back in the day. But, you know, they came. And we laid hands on his dad. We prayed that God would heal him. God didn't heal him. And that's okay too, right? That's all right. God instructs us to go lay hands on and to pray in faith. There's all kind of crazy stuff goes on the backside of that healing. And I don't need to, you know, I don't need to go there, right? You all know the crazy stuff that happens out there. Okay? We're talking about simple faith. People have the gift. Some people just have the gift and they have that burden, right? Okay. Working of miracles is another one. Working of miracles. And by the way, I'd like to suggest that the gift of healing is both for the local church and out there, right? It's both. Working of miracles. I'd like to suggest that the primary place for the gift of miracles is out there. Primarily out there while evangelizing. Some of them, it might happen locally, but primarily It's something that happens out there when there's evangelizing going on. When there are things going on and, you know, and people are hovering between what's right and what's wrong and who's God. And, you know, I just very clearly remember, I remember a situation with some brothers who were sharing the gospel with a Hindu man. And as they were sharing the gospel, there's one of the men, he said, "Young man, if you repent of your sin, and if you repent of those wicked gods that you're serving, and you turn away from that, and you make a decision to serve God, that ailment that you have, that sickness that you have, it's all going to go away." And it was some time later that he repented. And when he repented, he was totally healed. In fact, his friends, his neighbors, everyone around him said, "What happened to you?" Okay. Right? Is that the gift of miracles, or is that, you know, what is that? You know, is that okay? God works in those things, right? But then we sit here and we say, "Well, why aren't those things happening?" You know, in our local. Well, you know, those things are primarily meant for out there. And the more we're out there on the front lines, those things do happen if we're available, right? If we're available. The word of wisdom. Here's another one. The word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? Now, you know, we all sit together in our brothers' meeting, and there's all this dialogue going on. And, you know, things, it's just like popcorn, right? All over the place, and all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of ideas. And then there's some brothers, it just seems like they have the ability to just at the right time just say a word of wisdom and it settles the whole thing. Right? Have you seen that? Do you think that's, you know, somebody will have that gift? Right? Okay. It's not this crazy thing out there. Okay, but that's it. Okay, that's it. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Here's another one. Discerning of spirits. I'm going to suggest that discerning of spirits is primarily used in the local brotherhood. Primarily. It might be used out there, but there are some brothers around that they're just gifted. They have the gift of discernment. You know, situation comes up, and there's things going on, and there's you know, it's like they have discernment. It's like they see right through it, right? I'll give you an illustration of that. When Paul and Silas, in Acts 16, it says, "And it came to pass as he went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.'" Now that sounds pretty good, right? "And this they did many days. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.'" Now, all of a sudden, there's some real discernment came, right? It wasn't there the first day, but all of a sudden there's some discernment came, and there's a clear, you know, everything. Okay. There are brothers who have that gift. Isn't that a blessing? It is. Here's another one. The gift of faith. And again, we have this picture painted to us as to what faith is. And you all have heard lots of messages on faith and all that. I just remember, I remember being, you know, 30 some years ago, I remember being in some far distant state, and there is no good solid churches close, and we ended up going into this church, and woe be to us. But we, as we listened to the preacher preach the word, he was talking about faith, and he was talking about, speaking in tongues and being slain in the Holy Spirit and all kinds of crazy stuff going on there. But you know, and he was putting out faith as, if you have faith, then you'll have all these things happening to you. Well, we ended up walking out there that night. That's not faith. In your brotherhood, you have people that when difficult things come along, they'll say, but brothers, this is the way to go. This is what the Bible says. Let's just go this way. And there's faith that rises up. You know, certain brothers that just have that gift. Right? And I'm going to say, above others. There's others, you know, sitting there and saying, well, you know, how is this going to work out? And, you know, we have these, you know, how can that be? And, well, you know, but there's one or two men there saying, well, but brothers, hey, you know, God can open the door. Let's just move forward. Right? Okay, that's the gift of faith. That's it right there. The gift of faith. Right? But I'm going to say, too many times we have this mystical thing out here. You know, this picture. We hear these things of what faith ought to look like and, you know. Okay. Here's another one. The interpretation of tongues. Now, I'm going to be... There's probably a whole bunch in here that won't agree with what I'm just going to say here. But I'm a very simple man. And tomorrow we'll talk a lot more about tongues or languages. But when it comes to tongues or the interpretation of tongues, I'm going to suggest that the interpretation of tongues is very simple. It's simply interpreting languages. We're going to look at that tomorrow a lot more. But it's interpreting languages. And even here, there's many of you that have been on the mission field, right? And there's interpretation of languages going on out there on the mission field. There's some of you that aren't very fluent in Spanish. And as you're out there, you know, you can speak very well, but you're not gifted in Spanish maybe. But you have an interpreter, and he's gifted in that. You know, I've preached in various places, through an interpreter. And I've had men interpret for me who weren't gifted that way. And it didn't go very well. But there's men who are gifted in various languages, and their ability to just cross over and be able to very fluently share and interpret is amazing. You know, I've had men who literally stood beside me, and as fast as I could share the word with the same tone of voice, and you know, if there's tears coming down my cheeks, there's tears coming down his cheeks. Right? You know, there's men like that are gifted. And there's others that, you know, it's not that way. But I'm going to suggest that interpretation of tongues is not what it's put out there to be. And what it's put out there to be is simply someone speaks and no one understands. And then there's this one man who will take what he hears but doesn't understand, and he will, through some, whatever you want to call it, he'll share, he'll interpret, but he really didn't understand what was given, but he'll through some divine revelation, he'll share. I like to suggest that is given to us by the charismatic movement. It's not a biblical view. And we'll talk more about tongues tomorrow. But consider with me that is a very, very wrong view. See, gifts are given in a very natural way. in a very natural. It just, you know, it's not mystical. It's supernatural, but not mystical. You know, supernatural as, you know, it comes from God, but not in this whole arena where we don't understand and we're doing some things without understanding. It's not in that arena. And we'll go there tomorrow. Interpretation of tongues. Here's another one. We want to just move on quickly to in Matthew chapter 16 here. There's these five given. And it specifically says that these things are going to follow them that believe. They're going to follow them that believe. Now, that doesn't sound to me like something that I'm going to be seeking after. But as we're faithful, some of these things are going to follow after me. Right? And that's the same way with, you know, as we're serving God and we're faithful, you know, it's right for us to ask God for gifts, and it's right for us to ask God for abilities, and it's right for, you know, for us to reach out and say, God, can you give this to me? But I like to suggest in some of these miraculous things, they are not things for us to be seeking after. But rather, they will follow after us as we're faithful. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. That's pretty simple, right? And those things are happening here and about. Those things happen. And that's right. God help us. But those things, that's not... those are not things for us to be following after, and neither is it a gift. But as we face situations and circumstances, we will encounter those situations, and as we encounter them, there is some of those things going to happen, where there's evil spirits going to be cast out. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Now, I am going to suggest that maybe we look, here in the States, we look to medication and some of those things way too quick. And maybe there are times when some of those things should be happening when they're not happening. And granted, I say that with a careful word, because there are real situations where people have real issues. There are, because of physical issues, they're not able to, you know, they have a nervous breakdown. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about nervous breakdown type of thing, but I'm talking about when people have been dabbling with things and there's evil powers and things going on and there's things to be dealt with. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, I just think with me. You know, that's not something to be practiced in a local church, is it? You know, one of the brothers from church, you know, he says this. He said, where they used to live, he said, there's a local church, and in that local church, the pastor of the church, he would actually bring a snake into church, and they would play with it, and they would allow themselves to be bitten. It was crazy stuff going on. To prove that they have enough faith. Okay? That's the crazy stuff that's going on. Okay. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You know, there's times when evangelists, when you're out and when we're working with people, and there's things that because of God's sake, there's things that well up, and there's things that are said and done, and whatever it might be, and there's faith, and you Okay, some of these things just happen, right? But those are not things for us to be running after. But as we're faithful, some of those things will follow, men of God. Right? They shall take up serpents. They shall take up serpents. You know, we just talked about that. I'd like for us to just, I guess, consider that if we're going to be faithful in our day, there are some of these, what I'm just going to say, a wrong view of some of these things are needful for us to just remove them and put them aside and open the Word of God and say, God, how does this practically work for us? And it's not a bunch of this mystical stuff that you see out there. And I'm just going to say that in most of these things, if we really are doing what Scripture says, they're actually happening. Probably not as much as they should, but they are among us. They are among us. And God help us that they, you know, those things aren't out of perspective, but they are among us. And as we are faithful in serving God, we can do so, and we don't have to run after all that other stuff. And brothers, we do well to be at a place where we can clearly share with our sons and our daughters. We can clearly be able to open the Word of God with people on the street and be able to share the difference and just say, well, those things are happening in our midst. Those things are going on. And we can understand. We have a level of understanding. I'm going to say that there's many people who don't know where they are on this subject. And as a result of not knowing where we are, it has come. And many have lost their way. Many? Yeah. I'm going to say many have lost their way. And some out of even a sincere heart saying, God, I want everything you have. And they went after some of those things only to be taken up with things that are not godly. So Lord bless you all.